This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Jim Coventry. And Nick is up in Upper Wisconsin at a wedding today. So I get Jim's insights here, talking a lot of football today. We're going to get Jim's rookie busts and targets. Joe Sheehan's going to drop on by the Progressive Guest Line. We're going to talk some of his baseball plays for the day. We did this a couple Fridays ago. Was a big hit. Happy to have him back on. And then Jim and I are both going to have our best bets for this weekend. Jim's going to talk some preseason football. I'm going to talk some of tonight's baseball slate. We got that all coming up here on Prop Points. News of the day, though, starting off at the top. Nick, let's talk a little Cleveland Browns. Some interesting movement here. Quinshon Judkins may still face league discipline. May not. We'll see. But he's not going to face legal discipline for the domestic assault accusation and arrest that he had earlier this year. They declined to press charges.
So when we look at this, first of all, Judkins has yet to sign a contract. Seems like a formality at this point, but until it's signed, it's not a formality. But the second part about the league, and you properly mentioned, they'll still investigate. But if what the courts mentioned, that there were inconsistent photos, inconsistent timeframes, if the legal system found there was no way to bring back a guilty verdict, it's going to be a stretch. I think the league is actually going to be able to say that Judkins really did something. There's a lot of doubt in this one. So we'll see what happens. But yes, in terms of fantasy, now it's where do you put him? Does he need conditioning? Does how much time ramp up to be ready for the season? Does he sign the contract? If you're drafting this weekend, I tentatively moved him to running back 24 because of the volume he'll see. But I in no way would be confident clicking draft until I know what the status is.
Yeah, I can't get there. At least not, for a couple of reasons. One, he's got a ramp up period here. He hasn't been with the team. He's missed out on all of these practices. He's missed out on just learning the playbook. I think it's going to be a while. And again, he still hasn't signed yet. We still don't know what's going to happen with the league. I can't get him at running back 24. I can't draft him as one of my top three running backs. I have to wait a little bit longer on that one there. Speaking from a legal perspective, too, on the accusation, my wife is a former prosecutor, still an attorney, and dealt with a lot of these cases. The burden of prosecution is pretty high in this one because it's almost necessarily never in public. There's very rarely going to be like direct evidence that this happened. It's usually behind closed doors. You have a testimony issue. You have a proof issue. Point being is, the league has often issued punishments when the legal system doesn't. So he's not completely out of the blue necessarily on this one here, just as a heads up on that one. Looking at the Cleveland Browns as a whole, they had Shedeur Sanders start the first preseason game. He's not going to start this weekend. He's got an oblique injury. Joe Flacco, for all intents and purposes, looks like to be the starter here. Especially because Dylan Gabriel, who might start this preseason game this weekend, has barely gotten any reps. Neither has Kenny Pickett. They've had one of their starting corners, Martin Emerson's out for the year. It's been a rough training camp for this Cleveland Browns team. Are there any plays you like on the Cleveland Browns, whether it's fantasy, it's betting, you name it?
Yes, Cedric Tillman is certainly going to be in line to have a good season if he stays healthy. He had the concussion last year. Cedric Tillman's an outside receiver. He took over when Amari Cooper was traded last year. Tillman played three games off the bat and averaged 7 catches, 85 yards, and a touchdown. He had one somewhat down game in the 40-yard range before suffering the season-ending concussion. Right now, Joe Flacco, we don't know if he's the starter, how long he'll start for. Depends if the owner wants to push the young quarterbacks. If Kevin Stefanski wants to win and keep the locker room, Flacco is probably the best way to get there. The beauty of the offense this year, different than what we saw in the last few years. When they inherited Deshaun Watson, Kevin Stefanski scrapped his offense. They had to go to a 3-receiver spread set. Offensive line was blocking differently than the outside zone they used to. Now they bring in an extra tight end in Harold Fannin. They bring in a fullback, Troy Harrison. It's very clear they're going back to Stefanski's roots. They're going to max protect. They're going to use play action, and it's going to give Flacco some time, give the receiver some time, and they'll also face a little lighter secondaries because of the heavy personnel. Overall, this sets up well. Like you said, the defense, yes, we got the names, Denzel Ward, and yes, we have the all-time great Myles Garrett. this defense is going to be a problem because, as you're saying, they have a lot of infrastructure problems.
Indeed. Let's pivot to the Green Bay Packers. Jordan Love had a surgical procedure on a ligament damage on his non-throwing left thumb, suffered that in the first preseason game against the Jets, took care of it right away so that he can be plausibly ready for the start of the season. Good news there. He's not going to play the rest of the preseason. I'm not always worried about, not playing a couple of preseason games, but he's missing out on some reps, especially with trying to work with Matthew Golden, trying to work with a receiving core that's decimated by their own sets of injuries. Kind of sneakily a concerning preseason and training camp for the Green Bay Packers.
I never like when we have a consistent flow of negative vibes in a preseason. More often than not, those tend to transfer over to the regular season. Yes, they sound like minor injuries, but that's right now. A lot of teams have healthy players who are going through their reps in training camp and preseason. So all that said, it's a slight concern. What I will say is this, Matt LaFleur, Green Bay defensive coach, head coach, he figured it out last year. This team wants a run-based identity. They cut down Jordan Love's passes from 34 a game in the first half to 24 a game in the second half while Josh Jacobs carried the mail. So even with this bad vibes with the passing game players, they're going to be based around Jacobs and everything should flow off of that. And I know Halfley, the defensive coordinator, did a real nice job getting players flying around last year. They're kind of devoid of talent in the secondary, but their front seven is going to need to bring a little bit. So overall, I think this team, 9.5 wins, I think they can get there because this is a very well-coached team. And I do believe that offensive run game is going to help them get there.
Packers over under win odds are at 9.5 as their total. Over is to -120, under +100. I gave that out earlier in our training camp today segment we did about a month ago now, that I really like the Packers over. You know, they're number 3 in overall DVOA. You can find that over at FTN. I really like the Packers coming into training camp. There's been a lot of negativity though, like you said. The Jaden Reed thing scares me. The receiving core. I mean, they really need Matthew Golden to step up right away. And the secondary's got a real problem. Nate Hobbs with the knee, Xavier McKinney with the calf. Hobbs actually had a procedure done. Keep in mind, they cut Jair Alexander, couldn't find a trade for him prior to the draft, so they cut him in June. I think the secondary is also a little thin. So I'm backing off of that now. If I were to bet now, I'd probably just do a stay away. What say you?
Yeah, like I said, it's close, but I do think that run game identity will help keep the defense off the field. I believe they have enough in the front seven to at least limit some opponent's possessions. But you're right, overall with the vibes, this is probably more of a stay away than a bet either way right now.
All right. Let's talk about another problematic training camp, and that is the Los Angeles Rams. Matthew Stafford hasn't practiced at all this training camp. He was supposed to practice on Monday, didn't. Supposed to practice Tuesday, didn't. And spent time hanging out in the Aaron Rodgers Memorial Immortal Chamber. No, it's not really named after Aaron Rodgers. I just think it should be. You would think it's maybe a hyperbaric chamber, but it's more like voodoo science. It's more about, and I'm sorry to, maybe I'm not giving it proper deference, but it's unproven. It's more like so you can fully rest your mind and things of that nature. It's not really like a physical healing trailer or anything. I'm having a hard time wrapping my brain around it, obviously, having a hard time trusting on Stafford. What's your level of concern with Stafford's back injury and what that means for the Rams season?
It's massive. Tony Romo summed it up. Tell me somebody who used to have a bad back. The answer is nobody, because once your back is bad, your back is bad. And Stafford has had back issues before. We know it's a disc issue. We've heard that already. And Stafford just could take a hit, and that could be it. And think about this. Alaric Jackson, the left tackle, he's missed the entire summer with blood clots. Now, the poor man had this before in his career, and he eventually played, but that's his blindside protector. I am very concerned for the entire Rams offense, because if Stafford misses time, it all falls apart because Jimmy Garoppolo takes over, and we know that never ends well. Ask the 49ers when they got to the Super Bowl and had that chance.
I mean, he did get to the Super Bowl. I guess you could say that. But we also said, I mean, if you saw The Quarterback on Netflix, you know he and Devontae Adams do not have a warm, cuddly relationship.
Nope.
This is not something that's built a foundation piece here that you want to go to. We saw Jimmy G play the Week 18 game when they benched all their starters, and he acquitted himself well. So I could see that maybe being something that, you know, okay, he's fine if it's just a couple of games, but man, you look at the schedule. Starting off against the Texans in that pass rush too. In week one, home game granted, but you got the at the Eagles in week three. I don't like that at all. You got the Niners game in week five at the Ravens. It's a tough schedule. This is a one that win the division sort of schedule. They've got some really nasty games on that slate. It's not the toughest divisional schedule, at least. They play the AFC South. They got that going for them. The NFC South as well. So, but every team in the division also has that schedule. 10.5 wins is the over-under for the Rams. I feel pretty comfortable saying the under right now.
100% on that. And remember, the pass rush on defense came on late. It was not all year, and their corners aren't great. Mix that in with the Matthew Stafford questions. I agree with you. This is an under season.
Did you know that RotoWire has a brand new look and even better fantasy football draft tools for the 2025 season? Whether you're using the Draft Assistant to get real-time insights as you draft, customizing your strategy with the Draft Plan Creator, or testing scenarios with the powerful Draft Simulator, RotoWire gives you everything you need to draft with confidence. And right now, VSiN followers get an exclusive offer. Head to rotowire.com and our promo code VSiN at checkout. Get 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. Little pro tip there, use the My Leagues tool when you're using any of RotoWire's tools. Import your league, get all your settings, get all your scoring settings, get the teams in your league, you can even set up the draft order, and then use Live Sync when you're using the Draft Assistant too. Can't size up how good it is to do that. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about rookie busts and targets next. This is Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with our friend Jim Coventry here. You can follow Jim on Twitter at Jim Coventry NFL. Let's talk rookies, Jim. Let's talk about some of your busts, some of your targets. Travion Henderson is the belle of the ball right now. After that 100-yard kickoff return, after all the hype and training camp, deserved. He's playing great. 18-yard run. His draft cost has skyrocketed. In the fantasy industry, we like to call these guys helium guys. Fourth round pick now on average. I've seen him go as high as 18. Are you buying in on the hype or are you steering clear?
The ADP is scary here. As you were mentioning, ADP was running back 21 before the preseason opener, up to running back 17. It's a big cost. Ramondre Stevenson apparently has an insignificant injury per the head coach. Stevenson weighs 227. He's in the second year of four-year starter contract money. Henderson's 205. Definitely profiles as the receiving back, change of pace back. To me, this has to be a split backfield. And yet, the draft community is jumping on as if Henderson took the lead. He's running away, and it's his job all year. I don't think the team had any intentions of doing that. Therefore, we can't draft him to be that. So the bust comes in terms of fantasy and draft value. He'll be fine when he's on the field, but it may not be enough to cover that draft cost.
Yeah, I get that there. And I think we see a lot of the rookie running backs paired with the veteran running backs. You see that. I think you see that in Pittsburgh. I think you see that with the Giants, although I think that hype has been quelled quite a bit on Scadabo. But, you know, a lot of running veterans versus rookies job battles there, if you will. Follow up on Travion Henderson. The over on rushing yards over at our friends at Caesars is 700 yards and 700 and a half yards, minus 115, both the under and over. What say you?
I'm on the under because I think his bigger yards will come as a receiver.
I like it. Which means from fantasy purposes, if you play in a PPR league, that's fine to still take him ahead of Stevenson. I would do that even in almost all instances, but you know, you do worry about the rushing touchdowns. You worry about the goal line work. I get it there. And it's just the volume. That's a problematic thing. Let's talk about rookie wide receivers. You know, I think we spent a lot of time talking Tet McMillan. We spent a lot of time talking about Travis Hunter. Ibuka has gotten tons of steam in the preseason here. What about Matthew Golden up in Green Bay?
The problem isn't Golden. It's the situation around him. As I mentioned earlier in the show, Jordan Love went from a 34 pass attempt per game guy in the second half of the year when his team became run focused down to 24 attempts per game. That is not a lot to go around. And I really feel that's the identity of their offense right now. Now, as we look at Matthew Golden, what is the one weakness in Jordan Love's game? It's downfield passing. So if Matthew Golden was drafted because of the crazy speed at the combine to be a deep threat, that's not the greatest pairing. And I can't really make a case that Matthew Golden is going to be the short and intermediate guy because they already have Jaden Reed. I know he's nicked up now. They already have Romeo Doubs and Tucker Kraft. So the short and intermediate area are kind of clogged up. So I really think that Matthew Golden is just in an unfortunate situation where the volume and the opportunity are not going to complement his skill set best.
No, I get that there. Over under 700.5 receiving yards. Over is minus 120, under is minus 110.
Yeah, I'm the Grinch today. It's an under on that one.
All right. Yeah, well, hey, we're doing bus first. We'll get to the shiny, happy targets later on here. But we got one more bus coming up here first. And this one, that's kind of hurts my soul a little bit because I already have a decent number of them, a couple in dynasty leagues. Wide receiver Tet McMillan. Where are you on Tet McMillan, on his draft price? And then we'll talk maybe about his receiving prop as well.
Tet McMillan will be a really good NFL receiver. The problem he faces is he walks into a Carolina offense that is very overrated. Everybody's like, Bryce Young, Bryce Young. Nobody's talking about the fact that Bryce Young was 203 yards or fewer in four of his last five games last year. So all this glowing stuff about him, if you're not throwing for 200 yards a game, and he barely threw over that, I mean, by a little bit over that, in that crazy game against Atlanta when that should have been a 400-yard game. I think he was in the 250 for that one. But again, 200 yards a game, and now we're talking everybody. We're talking McMillan. We're talking Leggett. We're talking Coker. We're talking Thielen. Where's the yardage coming from? Because that quarterback does not throw for yards. That's my issue.
Yeah, I get it. I get it there. Any idea on the over under on the receiving yards? And I guess you're taking the under. If it's 825.5, you're worried about the target share.
Yes. And I don't see Bryce Young as the guy who is just going to throw 35% of his targets, which that's an unsustainable number anyway, to one receiver. Thielen has a great connection with Bryce Young already. That's not going to disappear. Thielen's going to see when he's healthy, he's going to see some targets. Other players are going to see targets. So McMillan is probably going to be in this area. Yeah, he may get 25% target share, which is fine. But again, in a low volume passing attack from a quarterback that doesn't produce yards, he's going under that number.
All right. We're not just the Grinch here. We're going to talk about some of Jim's targets momentarily among rookies. But first, the season's biggest edge is start before kickoff. Get yours with VSiN Pro. Right now, new subscribers get both the NFL and college football betting guides, your 1-2 punch for smart betting. These guides are packed with team previews, power ratings, betting systems, and the best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the start. You'll also get daily best bet emails from our hosts and guests, real-time betting splits and market insights, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, plus full access to VSiN.com's tools and data. Sign up today for $9.99 or save 50% with a pro annual plan. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Jeff Erickson here with Jim Coventry. We are with RotoWire. Go check out our content over at RotoWire. Get 15% off any RotoWire subscription using promo code VSiN. Jim's got a ton of content up on the site you need to go check out. Let's talk about some rookie targets for you. Caleb Johnson is not getting a lot of buzz out of training camp, Jim. In fact, I just did a radio hit with one of my Pittsburgh guys, and he suggests that he may not be getting as many carries with the ones initially right now. You still think view him as a bit of a target, though?
Look, Arthur Smith has a very clear blueprint. They are going to play 2 and 3 tight ends. They are going to play bully ball and run the ball as much as they possibly can. As long as that defense stays reasonably healthy, there is going to be a ton of rushing work to go around. Guess who's not running the ball? Aaron Rodgers. That's not happening. So you got Jalen Warren. You got Caleb Johnson. Remember, Jalen Warren was great 2 years ago. His efficiency cratered last year. So he's a very nice receiving back, but not the efficient running back of 2 years ago. Caleb Johnson fits the mold of what Arthur Smith wants to do. He'll get downhill, big, fast. They'll have number advantage at the line of scrimmage and blocking. Johnson is going to take Najee Harris's role from last year. If he matches those numbers, he's great at ADP, but I think there's more pop from him when in the second level. So I think he actually can exceed that. Both running backs are going to be fine here. Caleb Johnson has to get work, because if they don't have a running game, that team is in big trouble.
Agreed. I have so many doubts about the Aaron Rodgers portion of this working, even though I kind of do like DK Metcalf getting a slew of targets, but I think he'll be the only one that eats in that offense there from the passing game. Rushing yards prop for Caleb Johnson over at Caesars is 775.5. Rushing TD prop is 5.5. Let's talk Bears. You're not a Bears fan, but you are a Chicago native. We talk about this all the time. I give you a little bit of a chuckle on that one all the time, but Colston Loveland, first round pick, the first tight end selected in the draft. He's a target for you.
He definitely is. So we learned from Ben Johnson that he's going to use two tight ends. He did that in Detroit. Brock Wright, the backup tight end, played 49% of the snaps. Cole Kmet's going to be on the field. So is Colson Loveland. Kmet's a really good blocker. So guess who gets to be the receiver and the movable chess piece? It's Colson Loveland. And defenses won't be able to focus on him. You have Romo Dunze, you have DJ Moore, and the Bears are going to need to score points. I'm happy that their defense might be a little better, but the schedule is tough, and they're going to have to throw. The running game shouldn't be sustaining. Colson Loveland will have a really nice rookie season.
All right, we got one more rookie target. We got to talk a little RJ Harvey on the Denver Broncos. I liked RJ Harvey. I liked him better before they signed J.K. Dobbins, but the fact of the matter was there was always going to be a second running back. That's always the case with Sean Payton teams. I think this is just giving us a more affordable price on RJ Harvey. You no longer have to pay a fourth round pick on him.
100%, Jeff. So look, with RJ Harvey, we already know Sean Payton. He wants a diverse running game. They couldn't run last year. The running backs were terrible. He has two running backs now. But here's the other thing, Jeff. Their defense was very good. They're probably better this year. They added three big-time players on defense. And if Sean Payton has his way, they're going to run the ball. They're going to play defense. And remember, J.K. Dobbins has missed more games than he's played in his NFL career. Harvey's the explosive player. So not only will he do well most weeks, but there's going to be a time when Dobbins is out, and Harvey's really going to probably eat in those weeks.
Indeed. I like him on first downs. I wonder maybe about on third downs, whether Dobbins is in there, his vision might be a little bit better, and he might have that trust issue that you get a lot with veteran running backs there, especially about pass pro. That's the one thing I am a little concerned about with RJ Harvey. And with most rookie running backs, notably Trevion Henderson, I'm not worried about that. He was good at pass pro in college. So that's one thing that is a little bit different. All right, folks, we're going to shift the conversation over to baseball. Joe Sheehan, best baseball writer out there that I know, is going to join us next. We're going to talk about tonight's slate, maybe get some playoff talk as well. Stay tuned. This is Prop Points. I'm Jeff. He's Jim. We'll be back with Joe.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. We're talking baseball now on the show. And I got a good friend and best baseball writer that I know. And maybe not, it's not like a Cliff Clavin best baseball writer that's been in my kitchen. Best baseball writer that I ever read. Not that I know him personally also, but I do. He's our good friend, Joe Sheehan. You can read the Sheehan newsletter. Please check it out. Go to joesheehan.com. You can get all the details there. He joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Joe, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, man. I'm glad the bribes are still getting through to you. I wasn't sure if the payments. I was keeping up with the payments.
Yeah. It's all right. I got the envelope just in time, so it's all good there. Let's talk a little tonight's slate. We're going to start off with a non-playoff implication start here because it's one of the bets you like the most. Diamondbacks on the against the paste-eating Rockies. The Diamondbacks put a number on them last night. You expect more of the same tonight.
I do, and it's mostly because of Tanner Gordon. The Rockies, of course, really just assembling this rotation on the fly. Gordon, a left-hander with a 14% strikeout rate, which is not the kind of pitcher you really want to be at Coors Field. He's given up 7 runs all by himself his last 3 starts. So the team total Diamondbacks of 6.5 seems like a really good play. They've given up 7 runs in their last 5 home games and 6 of the last 7. But really, this is as much about the Diamondbacks, who've been the third best hitting team in baseball since the trade deadline. You know, they traded Eugenio Suarez. Blaze Alexander's got a lot of that playing time, and he's hit very well. You look at they're averaging 6 runs, just basically just short of 6 runs a game since the deadline. So you've got a team that's hitting well in a great hitter's park against a pretty bad pitcher. I love this matchup.
Joe, let's talk about Marlins versus the Red Sox. Sandy Alcantara has struggled in his two starts since the trade deadline, amongst a generally disappointing season. Now he's got a tough one against the Red Sox. Do you have a play against him in this game?
I do, Jim, and you make a great point. You know, it seems like a couple of times he's gotten it together, but you look at the two August starts, 13 total bases allowed in each of them. Now he goes into Fenway, which is an incredible doubles park, even better than Coors Field just for doubles. Roman Anthony has been leading off for the Red Sox for the last week or so, I mean, 10 of his last 11 starts, and Alex Cora has stopped taking him out of games late. So I like him to get 5 plate appearances in this game tonight. He'll be going up against Alcantara. He's got 14 doubles and 121 at-bats against Northpaws in his short career. I like him at the over 1.5 total bases at slight plus money on DraftKings. I think that between the opportunity, between the way Alcantara gives up power and Anthony's skills, I really like his chance to get 2 singles or a double tonight.
I just want to do a quick sidebar on the Red Sox here because, I look at where their playoff position is. They're second AL wild card right now. They're not that far behind the Blue Jays. They're ahead of the Yankees. Yet you look at like World Series odds, for instance, there. 2,500 at plus 2,500 at DraftKings. The lowest you can get them is like plus 2,000 at Bet Rivers. Meanwhile, the Yankees have considerably shorter playoff odds, World Series odds. I find that really interesting to see that little bit of a disconnect there. Do the Red Sox just have a better regular season roster? Are they built poorly for the playoffs, or is this just kind of built-in bias?
I think when you look past the standings themselves and get into some of the advanced numbers, the Yankees are still showing up very well. They have the best record in baseball by third order record, which is calculated by Clay Davenport, my old Baseball Prospectus colleague. And I think the numbers that we're seeing reflect that expectation that the Yankees, when all said and done, will actually end up being the better team. They have performed better. The Yankees are 3-8 in extra innings, which, as we know, guys, especially now, is such a crapshoot. So I think you take those numbers out of the record, you recognize the Yankees have probably still been the better team, even though the standings don't reflect that. I do think that for all futures, they underestimate the value of getting – they don't have enough of the randomness of the postseason baked in. You look at the Red Sox, even if they squeak in, talking about having to win 4 series, that's 16. It's a 1 in 16 chance. That's you can do math, guys. Plus 1,500. I'm not sure that the plus 2,500 actually reflects their true value. I think if any team that gets in should really be no worse than about 20-22 to 1.
That's kind of my vibe as well. I it's more of a Red Sox comment than a Yankees comment. But let's do talk a little Yankees. They face the Cardinals tonight. They've got Luis Gil on the mound, had a good start in the second start after a not so good first start, going up against Andre Pallante in St. Louis. You like a total bet in this game?
I do. And you mentioned Gil's last start out. You know, his first one, he just didn't have anything. He missed 4 months with that lat strain. He really does look like the pitcher that, at least in his last start out, looked like the pitcher who was rookie of the year last year. Facing up against a Cardinals team, doesn't have a ton of power. This park is a very difficult park for home runs. 5th best in baseball for keeping the ball in the park. The Yankees have the 3rd most home run reliant offense in the league. So again, Andre Pallante is not somebody you typically want to get behind, but I think the combination of these two teams with the off day yesterday resetting the bullpens is going to lead us to an under here. It's listed at 9. You're paying 21 cents on it, but I do think the value is there. So the Yankees Cardinals under 9.
So we got the Mariners at the Mets. Mets minus 124 over and under 8.5. Luis Castillo, Sean Manaea. So the Mariners and Mets are starting this great series Friday. Big playoff implications, Joe. Word on the street, you got a strikeout prop that you like.
I do. I mentioned that the Yankees and Cardinals have reset their bullpens. Well, last night I was actually at the ballpark and watched the Mets bullpen give up that game. Rogers, Helsley, Edwin Diaz pitched well in the ninth. But Carlos Mendoza had to use his A bullpen last night. Now, he's already somebody who likes to have a slow hook. So I look at him starting Sean Manaea, who's really the nominal ace of the Mets based on, you know, salary, going out there. He picked up some velocity his last time out. Now, he hasn't gone over 5.5 strikeouts, just one of his 5 starts since coming back. But I look at the combination of the increased velo, the fact that Mendoza is probably going to want to ride him, and the Mariners having the 4th highest strikeout rate against left-handers as the over 5.5 coming in. And again, it's a good line. I don't think this number is going to be this low in a Manaea start going forward. This might be your last chance to get him over 5.5.
Yeah, this is a fascinating playoff race in the NL wild card. Again, the Mets are the heavily favored to hold on against the Reds, but I mean, they're only a half game up. I didn't even expect to see that at this point in the season. And especially because the Mets did invest in their bullpen. The problem has been their bats, who we expected to be kind of carry the day against a rotation that has a whole series of three starters. You know, it hasn't been that powerful offense. You know, we're looking at Lindor in particular struggled lately. I get the feeling that this is likely to turn around, but it's been frustrating to watch if you're watching from a Mets perspective.
Well, there's a real disconnect between the way their offense looks on the page, a 107 weighted runs created plus, that's eighth in all of baseball, but just 15th in runs scored. I mentioned Clay Davenport's numbers. His stats indicate that the Mets have scored 26 fewer runs than you would expect from their underlying performance. That's 2.5 wins. I mean, that's if you're the Reds, you're much happier being a half game back than being three games back. So you know, the last two nights, it's really been about the pitching. They went up 6-0 on the Braves Wednesday, blew that game. David Peterson fell apart in the fourth. Last night I mentioned they were up 1-0 early. They were up 2-1 late, couldn't hold on. Should be up 3-2 late, couldn't hold on. But I really think it was about the offense last night. When you get a chance to face Bryce Elder, you've really got to put him away. And they let Elder put up basically a second-best start of the season. So real disappointing offensively. Yeah. I'm with you, Jeff. I think the problem is the offense, not the pitching.
Agreed. And funny, the worst part about this is they're at home right now where they're 39-23, 25-34 on the road. This is when they're supposed to be making hay, too. So really frustrating there from that perspective. We got one more game that you have a play on here. Rays against the Giants. Joe Boyle versus Landon Roop. Giants minus 132, Rays plus 108 on this one here. Total is eight. You've got a strikeout prop in this game, though.
Yeah, going against the grain a little bit, Joe Boyle has made his last three starts, has actually been over 4.5 strikeouts twice. He's actually minus 15 to go under. I don't think he's going to go deep enough into this game. He's not somebody the Rays have treated as a full starter. They're still stretching him out. They've been using some bit of a long reliever out of the pen. And you, against this Giants team, they have an average strikeout rate, but the key is they have a high walk rate. So you would expect them to work some deep counts against Boyle. Boyle probably running up the walk rate four walks against this team. He walks 13% of the batters he faces as it is. So that's the part of the matchup I don't like. I simply don't think he's going to face enough batters that he's going to be able to rack up the five strikeouts he's going to need. So I like the under 4.5.
Yeah, I can get behind that one there. I do notice the usage there. I mean, I think I called him a fantasy hipster at one point in time. People were looking forward to him getting a spot. That's why they displaced Taj Bradley. Displaced him so much, they traded him away. But it'll be interesting to see how they do that. Joe, you've got the newsletter going on. I've been enjoying your breakdown of tiers of the teams and all that. Really appreciate your spots here. We look forward to doing this again in the near future. Thanks for coming on board today.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Jim. Take care.
It's the Joe Sheehan newsletter. Please check it out, joesheehan.com. Check out his socials from there as well. Always good stuff from Joe. Let's talk a little bit about Winner Circle Proxy, our good friends that help us out with our contest over at Circa Million. VSiN and Winner Circle Proxy are giving away 2 grand prize packages for the Circa Million 7 contest. Each includes a fully paid entry, a full season proxy service from the team at Winner Circle Proxy, and an exclusive behind-the-scenes tour of our VSiN studios in Las Vegas. It's free to enter. Just go to winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN and fill out the short form before Sunday, August 17th. Don't miss your shot to play for $6 million in guaranteed prizes this season. Go to winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN. Check that all out. Very excited to talk a little preseason football coming up next with Jim Coventry and then some of my baseball plays as well. Talk a little bit about Titans Falcons, talk a little bit about Chiefs Seahawks, and just for Michael Cohen, our executive producer's choice there, we're going to do a little Patriots Vikings talk from Saturday as well. All coming up next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. I'm Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. Not with Nick Whalen, with Jim Coventry. Oh, I almost got it all the way.
Muscle memory.
Doing that there. Muscle memory. Jim Coventry at Jim Coventry NFL, folks. Follow him on Twitter. Read him on RotoWire. We're going to be talking about our best bets in this segment here. We've got a one-day game going on, though, first, Pirates and the Cubs. Cubs, they came off losing 2 out of 3 to the Blue Jays, lost yesterday there. They're 8 games now behind the Milwaukee Brewers, so you're looking at them more as a wild card team, where they're in a comfortable spot there with the wild card. They are in the top of the third in this one against the Pirates. Colin Ray versus Braxton Ashcraft. It is 0-0 in this one. Cubs, you know, obviously a heavy favorite in this one, especially with the Pirates' road woes. We've documented that before. Cubs currently the top wild card, 4.5 game lead over the Mets. We are the third wild card, 5-game lead over the Reds. So it would take a pretty big collapse for them not to make the playoffs. We got the second round of preseason games coming in here, Jim. I know you're super excited about that. Let's talk about a couple of these games. Starting off with Titans-Falcons. You know, so much of this, Jim, is about who's, you know, how much are the starters going to play? How, you know, which players are going to play and all that. So in this game, we don't expect to see a whole lot of the Falcons offensive starters, even though they're at home. So despite that, and the Titans being the team that came in with the worst record in football last year, they're a road favorite in this preseason game, total 37.5.
Yeah, great point. Obviously, as you're mentioning, Tennessee will play some starters and Atlanta not. So yet makes you the favorite regardless of venue here. Cam Ward going to get some opportunity to play here. He needs the experience, obviously. And I know he's touting up his receiver core as top five. Well, I remember when Tyreek Hill said that Tua Tagovailoa was the best quarterback he ever had, and he played with Patrick Mahomes. So you've got to build your teammates up. It's just the way it is. But that said, Cam Ward doesn't have a ton of weapons, but in this opportunity, even if the Falcons had their real defense on the field, which they won't, it's one you could shred. But it's a great spot for Ward to get some game speed experience. You won't see any exotic looks as the preseason, but it's a nice starting point. Michael Penix and the other side really could use the work. His accuracy is a real problem. Better deep, but short and intermediate, all over the place. Really think it's a disservice to not get that young man on the field after three starts with some really mixed results last year. But yeah, the big story is Cam Ward.
Indeed. Indeed it is. So something to watch for with them. You know, what you saw, what did you think out of Ward, what you saw from him in his first preseason game? He had, you know, a couple of, you know, good throws, a couple of not so great throws. I like how he hung in the pocket at least there. He seems like he's not afraid to make the throws.
He does seem like, from a moxie standpoint, like he belongs. It's as you're pointing out, he's got to get the speed of the game down. Even in this scenario, it's a work in progress. So you're going to see these hiccups, and that's why the team is smart to get him on the field so you can at least get used to that part of it, which again, Michael Penix is the other side. Like I said, 3-game experience. He needs more of that. Tennessee's doing it right for Ward.
All right, let's move on. Talk about the next preseason game on our slate here. That game is the Chiefs at Seahawks tonight. Seattle, -3 favorite. Again, this is a matter of who's playing, who's not playing. Total 39.5. Jim, one thing we've seen in the preseason, by the way, is more overs than unders, and we've seen more underdogs than favorites covering.
Yeah, there's no question here. And in this particular game, Seattle is rolling out new coaching staff, new offense. They need to hit the ground running. And so the Chiefs, yes, for a short period of time, they'll get some starters in, but they will completely take the foot off the gas. And so the Seahawks, being a favorite, is smart here because they have more to work on. Whereas, you know, defensively, they're not going to see any looks from the Chiefs. They're going to confuse them. The new running game, they want to install that, and Clint Kubiak's running it. A rushing attack, and they'll get some heavy personnel. They'll have an opportunity to really run the ball well here, making them a very nice team to bet in this one.
Indeed. So I'm intrigued to see this one here. See how much Seattle's revamped offense looks. They didn't look so great in their first one against the Raiders. We'll see if in game two, if there's any advancements there. Patriots, Vikings, the Michael Cohen special here. Tomorrow's game, Minnesota -1.5 favorite there, over under 38.5. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, in this one, I think I like the Patriots better because the coaching staff, they are going to want to begin to establish the professionalism, and that's going to be a big deal. Whereas Minnesota, look, it's locked and loaded. The coaching staff, Kevin O'Connell, not going to pull out any stops here. His offense is so well established, even though J.J. McCarthy, who's not playing in this one anyway, so there's no need to go that route. Brian Flores, who's the king of cooking up looks, not have to do any of that here. They're going to play it straight on defense. And overall, the talent there, not great unless the scheming's there. So this is one the Patriots a culture standpoint, even though it's preseason and they're getting 1.5 here, I think they have little trouble covering this one.
Indeed. All right. So good stuff there. What else you want to talk a little more Trayvon Henderson? You want to talk some baseball? Yeah, what do you want to do?
Yeah, I did want to talk Trayvon Henderson for a minute here. So everybody needs to watch this because we saw last week we had the 18-yard play. We had the 100-yard kickoff return. So it was Trayvon Henderson's night. And we talked earlier in the show how in fantasy football, his ADP went up from running back 21 to running back 17. We'll see if we get a market correction or if we'll get more steam. So that's what I need to say. But Jeff, let's move to baseball. So let's talk about tonight's baseball slate. Your Reds against Nick Whalen's Brewers. What do you like in this game?
All right. This is a huge game for the Reds. Maybe not as much for the Brewers because they're so comfortably in first place now. 8-game lead in the NL Central, but they're rolling. They've won 10 in a row. They want to keep it going. Right now, they're inevitable as Thanos right now. Best record in baseball, best run differential, plus 159. They're beating good teams. They're beating bad teams. I mean, they swept the Dodgers season series. They also just swept the Pirates. So that it runs the gamuts there. Even on the road, they're 34-24. Not as good as home, but still 10 games over 500 on the road. Not too many other teams can say that. They're 5-2 against the Reds so far this year. You know, with that minus 144 money line there, plus 119 for the Reds, I'm kind of staying away from those. But I am going to talk a little bit about Nick Martinez and talk about the pitching matchup here. Martinez has had 5 starts in a row with two or fewer earned runs allowed. It might be his last start before Nick Lodolo returns. Could go all out. Meanwhile, Brewers are listed as unlisted, but it's probably going to be Jacob Mizorowski coming back from the IL. Could be an abbreviated start, but it could be epic in those abbreviated innings. A couple of things that I like here. I like the under Martinez 3.5 Ks, minus 105 at BetMGM. That's the best price I found for that strikeout prop. Using RotoWire's player prop tool there. Check that out at RotoWire when you get a chance. Promo code Beeson. I also like the under 9 runs scored. Reds at home aren't a great offense. They're 92 WRC plus. You would think, in that ballpark, they're really scoring runs. But I like the under on this one under 9 at minus 115 as well.
And then, Jeff, next, how about that big NL West showdown between the first-place Padres, second-place Dodgers? What angles you got on this game?
Yeah, huge series here. I don't think enough is getting made out of this series because it's out on the West Coast. But the Padres, they've caught and passed the Dodgers. Padres won on Wednesday. Dodgers lost on Wednesday to kind of flip that switch. Really big, beating the best team that money can buy right now. Padres are listed as undecided also. Randy Vasquez likely to step up for Michael King. King went back on the IL after just one start with a knee issue there. However, the Padres bullpen, which is great, they buffed up that bullpen at the trade deadline. It's well rested. They were off yesterday as a whole, and they won yesterday Wednesday's game in a laugher, 11-1 over the Giants. So well rested here. Clayton Kershaw on the mound for the Dodgers. I know both teams have potent offenses. I like that under 9.5. I think that's a big number. I like it at minus 112. The other thing I will throw out there, Toronto hosting the Texas Rangers. I like the over 7.5. Jacob DeGrom on the mound, so it looks like it should be at 7.5. You'd think, be a high number, but DeGrom's really struggling in his last 3 outings, 13 earned runs in his last 17 innings pitched. It's time for our G-Bank best bet of the day. Best bets are brought to you by G-Bank. Get the G-Bank Visa signature card today, built with sports bettors in mind. While most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when you're using your own money, GBank treats them as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saving you up to 3% to 5% on every deposit. Plus, you'll earn 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. All right, Jim, time for your best bet. What do you got for us today?
Season-long receiving total, DK Metcalf, over 950 receiving yards. You get that minus 120 at DraftKings. Here's why. 5 years ago, he had 1,300 yards. The last 4 years, he's been a 1,000-yard receiver. Why? Too high safeties when he went the 1,300. The league shifted too high then. Against Arthur Smith with all those fullbacks and tight ends, you're never playing too high. He's going to get big play after big play. Love that one.
Very good. That warms the cockles of my cold heart there. I have a lot of DK Metcalf in my leagues. My best bet going to be the under 9.5 and the Dodgers and Padres game. I think that the bullpen there for the Padres will help keep that score down. So I like that, even with Randy Vasquez on the mound. That's going to wrap it up here for Prop Points. Thanks again for tuning in. Good luck on your bets this weekend.